We pick up today where we left off on Tuesday. Mary and Joseph are a little weak and fresh into parenthood, and I'm sure, like all of us right now, they're a little tired. They've traveled a lot. They've had a couple visitors, and they just left the hospital with their first child. It was quite the holiday for them. But now it's time to go back to living their lives. It's time to actually raise this child. But before they do that, they have to travel to Jerusalem to circumcise Jesus and purify Mary after childbirth. Standard new baby procedures. From there, they'll go home, back to Nazareth, to begin their new life as a family of three. And it's here, in this series of most ordinary events, where they encounter Simeon and Anna, two very old, very excited, very religious people who hang out at the temple for the fun of it. First, Simeon. He had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Messiah before he died. So when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple, the Spirit touched him on his shoulder and said, "It's him. It's that one. It's that baby." In haste, Simeon ran over to Jesus, took him out of the hands of Mary, held him in his arms, and then basically sang a song about how he could die happy now. He had seen the Messiah. He had seen the living light with his own eyes. And by God, he was going to sing about it. He was going to hold this baby and proclaim this good news. Everything he had been waiting for his entire life was now lying in his arms. Then there's Anna, a widow who fasted and prayed at the temple on the daily. She never left. The text doesn't say that she actually saw Jesus, but it implies that she somehow knew in this moment that the child was near. The child who would redeem Israel was alive, was present, was here. And like Simeon, her heart couldn't contain this goodness. She broke out into song and praised God for this baby, beginning to tell everyone around her about him. On what was a very ordinary day at the temple, on a very ordinary post-birth trip to Jerusalem for this new family, there are two people who know that something bigger is going on. And they can't help but sing about it. What's striking about Simeon and Anna's songs is that they're sung as if Jesus has already done something amazing. But he hasn't. This child they sing about has not redeemed Israel yet. This baby they sing about has not saved God's people yet. This newborn they sing about can't even talk or go to the bathroom on his own. They're still decades away from anyone even knowing who this baby is. And yet they sing anyway. On top of that, absolutely nothing has changed in the world around them. The world they're living in, the oppression around them, the rulers above them, they're all the same. Nothing is different. Absolutely nothing is improved in the world since this baby was born. And yet they sing anyway. Which tells us that they're not singing in naive hope or innocence. Simeon is actually very clear that this baby is not going to live a neat, quiet little life. While he's holding Jesus, he foretells to Mary that Israel will be divided over this child. He will be pierced by the sword. Simeon knows the good news wrapped in this helpless baby is not a little tiny bow on top of a present. The world will not like this baby. It will be threatened by this child. Simeon knows it's not going to be all rainbows and unicorns. And yet, he sings anyway. Anna knows this too. Heck, Anna's old. She knows she may not be alive to see the redemption that she sings about. She knows that this is a future tense kind of promise. She doesn't know a whole lot more than that, when it'll happen, how it'll happen, if she'll be around for when it happens. And yet, She sings anyway. I wonder what all the people around at the temple were thinking while this was happening. Imagine all the weird looks Simeon and Anna got at the temple that day. All the odd stares from passing bystanders. Think about what was going through everyone's heads as they saw these two old, crippled temple lovers sing about the redemption of all people. I think most of us would have looked at Simeon and Anna with confusion. Maybe some worry. Do they have dementia? Are they in their right minds? Have they read the news lately? Why are they so happy? If we're honest with ourselves, we often question or even resist the song that Simeon and Anna sing. We'll sing it on Christmas, sure. But after that, we're back in the throes of the world. We're back in the depths of the news. Our minds and hearts are easily consumed by all that hasn't changed, all that is still broken, all that needs to be healed, all that is despairing and hopeless. None of this seems to stop Simeon and Anna from singing, but it often stops us from singing. And so I think that Simeon and Anna show us how to live in this post-Christmas world. Because though nothing has changed since Tuesday, the news is still depressing, our country is still dividing, cancer still exists, war is still raging, though nothing has changed, absolutely everything has changed. Because God has entered into it all. The little baby Simeon holds in his arms is proof of that. That's what's different. That's what's changed. Not our situation, but God's relation to our situation. God is now in it, is close to it, is present to it, has come down into it, is redeeming it. This Christmas promise may look as inconsequential as a newborn baby, but Simeon and Anna knew it would change the world forever, and so they sang it anyway. And we may resist this song at times, thinking there's not enough room for joy and hope in a world in such disarray and pain, but that's the world God chose to enter into. And so we can be bold to sing anyway. We have seen the little baby Simeon holds in his arms, and we know the hope of this child. We know the promise that is now real, that God is here, God is near, God has come to be with us all. This is a song the world will never be able to quiet. And it's a song our world is desperate to hear. May we be bold enough to go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Amen.